Biochemist Jennifer Doudna rocked the science world with her research unlocking the mystery of gene editing. A Hilo High School graduate, she now has her own laboratory at UC Berkeley, home to some 30 researchers. In 2014, she won a $3 million prize for breakthrough science for discovering how to edit genes. She spoke with us this morning in advance of a talk on the Big Island Monday. She returns to Hilo, where her parents taught, and she reminisced about her humble roots and the opportunities along the way.
My family moved to Hilo in 1971, and my dad had gotten a job at the University of Hawaii at Hilo, where he was working as a professor of American literature, so not science. And we moved out there, and I started school at Kapi'olani Elementary. And I went there for a couple of years, and then I finished up at Kaumana Elementary. And then I went to a couple of years to St. Joseph's middle school, intermediate school, and then I went to Hilo High School. And during that time, I loved math and science, and I didn't know anybody who was a professional scientist, but I started to think about, how interesting it would be to have a job where you spend your time figuring out how things work in the natural world. And I had two teachers that were very influential for me. One was Miss Wong. So I've talked about her before. She was my chemistry teacher at Hilo High School. And the other was a wonderful teacher named Marlene Hapai, Mrs. Hapai. And, as kids, we loved her name, Mrs. Pregnant, right? And but she was also one of the, people that really showed me how exciting it would be to be working in the area of, in her case, biology and understanding the natural world as a scientist.
And when you talk about natural world, I mean, gosh, the Big Island, you've got the volcano, you've got, incredible microclimates.
Oh, yeah. No, what a place, right? I mean, it was so special to grow up there and to experience that natural world. And I think I also, I was really fascinated by the process of evolution as it plays out in an island environment. And, of course, I wasn't, thinking about it that way at the time, being a kid, but I was just amazed at all the different kinds of, plant species and animals and insects and flowers, everything that had evolved in that environment. And I just found myself a lot of times wondering, what it was about the chemistry of these types of organisms that made them especially well adapted to, to thrive in Hawaii.
So it was very fertile ground for your mind.
Exactly. Fertile ground in multiple ways, but certainly for my mind, yeah. I'd like to mention one other scientist as well who had a big influence on me. He was a professor at the University of Hawaii at Hilo. He's a very good friend of our family named Don Hemis. And Don Hemis, he's emeritus now, but he was a biology professor there and was a good friend of my dad's. Their family was a good friend of ours, and he was fascinated with a number of things, including the types of shells that have evolved in the Hawaiian Islands, Hawaiian waters, and also mushrooms. And he wrote a wonderful book about mushrooms in Hawaii and all the kinds of, different types of fungi that have been able to thrive in that environment. So again, it was sort of being exposed to that way of thinking and sort of asking questions about the kinds of organisms that you see in that unique environment that I think was a very important influence in my life early on.
And you mentioned there was another researcher with the University of Hawaii Cancer Center that came to Hilo and gave a talk and really inspired you.
She did, yes. And you know what? I would love to know the name of her, of that person, and I don't.
We'll track her down for you. How's that?
I have not been able to track her down, but if you could, I would love it.
Okay.
She was a beautiful Haole lady. She was working on breast cancer. She had long blonde hair, and she came to Hilo. She came to Hilo High School. It would have been probably 1980 as part of a state-sponsored program to bring in professional scientists from around the state of Hawaii to talk to high school kids about what they did. And so she was one of, you know, in sort of this series, and her work just, you know, really resonated with me. I just, when I saw her work, I thought, that's really what I want to do with my life.
And you are in like a whole nother stratosphere. I mean, you're doing like gene editing, and it's just so incredible. When I was reading about the work that you've done, you have a lab named after you at Berkeley, and you've just signed on with another lab in San Francisco.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, this has been a really exciting time, because the research that we were doing a few years back has now, you know, become a technology for altering the DNA in cells that gives scientists an incredible opportunity to do things like, you know, understand and eventually cure genetic diseases, and also to generate plants that will be adapted to changing environmental conditions and dealing with climate change and things like that. So, you know, it's just opened the door to all sorts of both research and applied opportunities that I'm now part of. And, you know, one of the motivations for opening the lab in San Francisco is to be closer to my clinical colleagues so that we can think about ways to use gene editing to treat genetic disease.
And that really is amazing, you know, when you think, oh, we could use this science to save lives and, you know, hold off a lot of suffering for so many diseases.
Exactly. It's very exciting. It's very motivating. And, you know, it really involves a lot of collaboration, which I like.
And I can't believe, between you winning that $3 million prize and then opening these labs, you also had time to write a book.
Yeah, a book. So that book, A Crack in Creation, was the result of a wonderful student in the lab, Sam Sternberg, who finished his PhD about 3 years ago and decided that he really wanted to take a year off to write a book about our experience in the lab of, you know, being involved in fundamental research that became this very important technology. So I worked with him over the course of a year to put that book together, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of stress at times, trying to figure out, you know, how to tell the story and make sure it was understandable by non-experts. But in the end, I think that, you know, we both felt really good about having had that experience together and being able to share our thinking about the science and also the ethics of where it's going in the future.
Right, because ethics is a big part of this.
It is.
What happens now? You've just done so much in a short period of time.
Well, for me, you know, I'm really an educator. I love working with students, and I think for me, you know, being at a public university like the University of California, it's very analogous to my dad's work at the University of Hawaii on one level, because I know that my dad always valued being part of a public university system that makes education available to everybody. You know, people that want to come in, if they want to study and work hard, the university is available to them, and I think that's really something that's near and dear to my heart at the University of California as well. So I have, you know, a lot of work that I do is with students, and I do a fair amount of teaching, but also research that involves training the next generation of scientists. So that's one thing. But then, of course, you know, ensuring the development of gene editing as a technology, and looking for ways that we can participate in the application of gene editing in clinical disease as well as in agriculture is something that I feel very excited about as well.
And because your parents are educators, I mean, they just must have been thrilled to their toes, you know, when you won that award.
Well, you know, sadly, my dad passed away in 95, so he didn't know about it. And my mom moved from Hilo to Berkeley, California, when our son was born back in 2002. But she also passed away recently. So I think, you know, when I think about my parents, I feel like even though they didn't know about the specifics of that award, I know that they would be very happy with how things turned out. And I think that, you know, I certainly give them a lot of credit for having encouraged my interest when I was very young.
And I know you mentioned your son. Does he have any, I don't know, tendencies towards science at all?
He does. So my son is, I have a high school boy myself now who's a junior in high school, and he loves science, but he loves a different kind of science. He's a He's kind of a computer science fan. He loves robots. He's on a robotics team that he's very proud of. And, you know, I think he's much better than I was at that age at sort of organizing people. You know, I think he's a kind of a natural leader, and he clearly enjoys the team-building aspects of science as well as the actual, you know, guts and of what you do in the laboratory setting. So I think he's somebody that, you know, is really interested in probably not going in an academic direction. I see him more going into business, and he's very excited about the future of robotics and computer science and engineering. So I think that, you know, he'll make his own path, but he's definitely somebody who really appreciates the value of science. For sure.
And when you think about your time when you were his age in Hilo, did you ever think that that culture in Hilo Town and the culture that you grew up in, you know, would lead to where you're at today? I mean, just the opportunities, I guess, that you've been able to take advantage of over the years.
In a word, no. but at the same time, I have to tell you that speaking very frankly, I mean, I was growing up in the 1970s in Hilo, and I graduated high school in 1981. And in those at that time, Howleys were, you know, we were in a minority, and there was a fair amount of anti-Howley sentiment, and I understand much better now where that was coming from. But as a kid, you know, I was just thrown into that, you know, experience. But on the positive side, I had a really incredible opportunity to experience the multiculturalism of Hawaii that's a very natural part of being a Hawaii resident. And that, you know, it prepared me in ways that I couldn't have predicted, but I have to tell you that almost every day now, you know, when I work with people from all over the world who I'm working with as collaborators or as who are students of mine or colleagues of mine or people that I meet in various activities that I'm doing, it does really help that I had that experience in Hawaii of working with people from many different backgrounds and having the opportunity to understand that, you know, this is what makes, I think, for a very exciting workplace, is when you have people that come in with diverse points of view and they're all, you know, when they get aligned on a project, it just makes the work so much fun, and I think it makes it more successful. So I think for me, that's really one of the biggest things that Hawaii gave to me was that experience of multiculturalism, positive and negative, and how that shapes the way that we approach our work.
That was noted biochemist Jennifer Doudna, proud graduate of Hilo High School. She plans to visit all her favorite haunts on the Big Island. Her lecture is on Monday at the Hilo Performing Arts Center, UH Hilo, at 6:30 p.m. She'll also speak at UH Manoa's Cancer Center, Sullivan Center, from 3 to 4 p.m. on Tuesday, the 18th.